Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 16 through 18. Still in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And skip down to verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, a lot of us judge how well life is going, how well we are spending our time. A lot of times, even our very worth, how much we're worth, based on what people around us think. And we're conditioned to do this from the very beginning of our lives. You watch a baby and you see babies perform for the adults around them, looking at our faces, and if we smile, it makes them smile. If we frown, you know, they want to stop doing what they're doing. It's just the way that we're wired. We're conditioned to do things for the approval of other people. And it doesn't quit whenever we grow up. It's not just for kids. It's not just for babies. I mean, on into adulthood, many of us put considerable and exhausting amounts of time and energy into winning the approval of friends, of teachers, of parents. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I've known people who are 40, 50, 60 years old, still putting considerable, exhausting amounts of time and energy trying to win the approval of their parents still, or trying to win the approval of the friends around them. I mean, it goes on and on throughout our lives. And there's something in us, it's part of being human, that we just have this tendency to think that our life is going well or it's not going well based on the opinion of the people around us. Now, the problem is what Jesus says here in this passage. The problem is, even if people around us are happy, it's possible that our spiritual life is stinking up the place. Now, Jesus is talking about in this passage three acts of righteousness. He says, be careful when you do your acts of righteousness before people that you do it for the right reason. He names three in particular here. He talks about prayer, he talks about giving to the poor, and he talks about fasting. And these were foundational practices of Judaism. These were actions that people said this is a good thing. It's stuff that the law prescribed even for people to do that God would approve of, that would be good to do to serve God. As a matter of fact, these three acts of righteousness are three of the five pillars of Islam. So it's not just Christianity, it's not just Judaism, but Islam also recognizes these practices as good things to do. But what Jesus says is, be careful how you do them. It's important, friends, not just what we do, but also why we do it and how we do it. Jesus says, be careful that whenever you give to the poor, that you sound no trumpet. We aren't exactly sure what Jesus is talking about here. It's possible he's being very literal. it's possible that Jesus is talking about the practice at feast days, whenever feast days would begin, that they would sound trumpets sometimes to announce the start of the feast day. And also accompanying the feast day would also be an opportunity for people to give to the poor. And Jesus may be talking about people who timed it just right, so that whenever the trumpets are sounded and there's great fanfare and everybody's jumping in here to, you know, to practice, to celebrate this feast day, that these people were just the right spot in front of just the right people, or in front of a bunch of people, so that whenever the trumpet sounded, they were going to give to the poor. And Jesus says, you know, don't do that. It's also possible Jesus was just being figurative here, being metaphorical, a lot like we would say, don't toot your own horn. But it's obvious what Jesus is saying. Don't do it for show. Don't do it so that other people will see you doing what you're doing. Jesus even says, when you're giving, not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, when Jesus talks about prayer, he says, don't do it standing on street corners. Now, the Jewish people had three prayer times, and it's possible that Jesus is talking about people who timed the three prayer times just at the right moment, so that they would be walking down the street, you know, in the biggest crowd possible, or in front of, you know, people who would see them and say, wow, look how devoted they are to God. It's very possible from what Jesus says elsewhere that the content of their prayer would be to draw attention to themselves. And so what Jesus is saying here is some people pray and they try to find the right spot so they can be seen by the right people, so it'll draw attention to themselves. And what Jesus says to do, he says, instead, go into your inner room. The inner room was a windowless room. Jesus says, shut the door. So no windows, door shut. You're in a place where absolutely nobody sees you but God. And Jesus says, pray there. Don't pray on the street corner. Pray in the closet where nobody can see you. And then about the third practice, fasting. The Jewish people had two fast days at least, and some people fasted more than that. On Monday and Thursday, they would fast. They would refrain from eating to put themselves in a place of humility before God, for repentance, look for God's guidance, God's intervention in their lives. And Jesus says, when it's time to fast, or when you are fasting, put your best face forward. You know, wash your face. Probably in Jesus' day, people would go around and they would have a somber look on their faces. They would distort their faces, Jesus says in here, so that people would say, you know, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. And so, you know, draw attention to themselves. They wanted people to know that they were fasting, so people would say, wow, you know, what a good boy is he? What a good girl is she? It was all for show. It was so people would think, wow, look how good of a person they are. Look how righteous of a person they are, and admire them for that. And Jesus says that's absolutely the wrong reason to fast. You are not fasting to draw attention to yourself. You're fasting because it's something between you and God. Keep it between yourself and God. Now, I think it has to be said, you know, there's questions, especially about fasting. Are these practices that we ought to do on a regular basis? I think it's significant that in these, all three of these, when Jesus talks about them, he assumes that these are ongoing practices in the life of a Christian. He says, when you give. He says, when you pray. He says, when you fast. He doesn't command them. He assumes that Christians are going to do this. I think that's significant. Christians are supposed to be religious people. I know that's not popular to say. Nowadays, we're kind of in this mood in our culture and in our society that, you know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. What religious means is there are practices in my life that promote my spiritual walk. That there are practices in my life that I do for God, spiritual exercises, and we ought to be people whose lives are characterized by these ongoing practices. And too much today, today's Christianity, I call it lightning bolt Christianity, that people are waiting for lightning to hit them before they do something for God. You know, people talk a lot about random acts of kindness. I've got no problem with random acts of kindness, but that's not the high point of Christianity. What Jesus teaches his disciples to be are people who practice kindness, not randomly, but consistently, constantly, ongoing. I've gotten an email before that talks about a story about a guy driving down a road. He's just been to the grocery store, and he had to pick up a gallon of milk. And so he's driving down the road, and all of a sudden he gets goosebumps, and it's like God's telling him, "You stop the car, and I want you to take that milk that you just bought, and I want you to take it to the door of that house right there." And he takes the milk to the door of the house. He knocks on the door, and he says, "God's told me to give you this milk." And the lady who answers the door just breaks down and starts crying and says, "I need this milk to feed my baby." And the gist of the email is, this is the height of spirituality. If you get to this point where you get this lightning bolt experience and God just kind of zaps you and tells you, go give this, do this good thing. I'm a little skeptical when I read emails like that. First of all, I thought babies drank mother's milk or formula. I didn't think they drank Borden's, so that doesn't make sense to me. But the bigger problem I have with emails like this is that it puts forward the idea that the most spiritual we can be is whenever we have these lightning bolt moments. And Jesus says, don't wait for lightning bolt to hit. Consistently practice giving. Consistently practice praying. Consistently practice fasting. A lot of Christians, the idea that we put forward about what it really means to follow Jesus, it has more in common with deadbeat dads than it does with what Jesus teaches. I mean, I think about moms that I've known who give their, maybe the marriage has failed and they're single mothers and they're, doing everything they can to care for the kids that God has given to them. And a lot of times they're married to these fathers who are absentee and often doing their own thing. And, you have these mothers who consistently care for their children. I mean, day in, day out, they are there. They are brushing teeth, they're giving baths, they're providing meals, they're, getting clothes ready, getting kids to school, consistently, day by day, caring for their children. And then sometimes you have sort of the deadbeat dad who kind of hit and miss, and then he'll swoop in and he'll, bring the kid a pony or something like that. And, oh, what a great dad I am. The image of Christianity that's going around looks like that. It's like, let's swoop in, let's do something, and then swoop off. And what Jesus wants us to be are people who consistently practice righteousness. Consistently. I said before, I don't have a problem with random acts of kindness. Go do your random acts of kindness. But the overarching, make your acts of righteousness consistent, ongoing, deliberate, planned, strategic, invested. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do, or don't wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you to do something. Wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you not to do something. Remember what Jesus has already said in the Sermon on the Mount at the end of chapter 5. Remember the bill of righteousness I talked about a little bit ago? You have no right to property, Jesus says. You have no right to stuff. You have no right to time. You have no right to money. It's all His. You are the manager. He is the owner, and Jesus wants us to leverage what we have for Him and for His kingdom. Now, second thing that I think we have to look at in this passage, I think there's been a lot of confusion about, does everything have to be done in secret? In other words, if I give and somebody finds out about it, have I lost my reward? If I pray and somebody hears me pray, was it all for nothing? If I fast and somebody knows I'm fasting, am I done for? Does everything have to be done in secret? Well, you look at the life of Jesus, you look at the early church, Jesus fed 5,000 people at one point. I mean, that was a huge act of righteousness. Hungry people, empty stomachs, Jesus sat them down and actually it was more than 5,000. 5,000 men plus whatever women and children were there. And that was a big public thing. So was it wrong for Jesus to do that? I don't think so. But it was very public and very righteous. The early church gave publicly. Acts chapter 4 tells us that Barnabas sold a field and brought the money publicly before the leaders of the church and said, here's the money. Use this to care for the poor. Paul had a habit with the churches around that he would try to raise funds. There was a famine. The church in Jerusalem was suffering, and Paul wanted to raise an offering, and he wanted to use the money collected from the Gentiles to help the Jews, help the Jewish church. And he would use this very publicly. Well, this church gave this. Now, what are you going to do? I mean, Paul used it so, you know, he could raise as big an offering as possible. But it was very public. The churches gave. Everybody knew about it. So was it wrong for them to do that? I don't think so. What about prayer? Jesus prayed in front of others. Luke 9, verses 18 and 28. One of my favorite or at least one verse that I think is pretty funny there in Luke 9. It says, you know, Jesus withdrew by himself to pray. You know, I've heard that verse used a lot to say, well, you know, we should have your personal, quiet, by yourself time with the Lord. And you should. But it's interesting in this verse, it says, and Jesus drew off by himself to pray. And then it says, and his disciples were there with him. So Jesus prayed in front of others. Jesus prayed, we're going to read the what's called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer coming up next week. And Jesus prayed in front of people. He did. And so, was that an unrighteous thing to do? I think not. The early church prayed publicly and corporately. In Acts 1, they were together and prayed. Peter and John in Acts 3 continued to observe the Jewish prayer times at the temple. I mean, that's a very public place to pray. Acts chapter 21, verse 5 tells us that the church prayed on the beach together. I can't think of a much more public place to pray than there on the beach. And Acts tells us that that's what the church did. What about fasting? Well, Jesus fasted and let people know. How else can you explain that Matthew knew in chapter 4 that Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he faced the tempter? I mean, Jesus had to have let somebody know. The early church fasted together. Acts 13, verse 3. Acts 14, verse 23. And then how do you reconcile? You know, Jesus says here, you know, do it in secret. Do your acts of giving in secret. Pray in secret. Fast in secret. Yet Matthew 5, verse 16, he says, let your light shine before people so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How do you reconcile that? Matthew 5, Jesus says, do it in a public way so everybody can see. Matthew 6 here says, do it in a very private way. Don't let anybody see. How do we reconcile that? Well, we reconcile it because it's not important what you do, how you do it, as it is important why you do it. In Matthew 5, you're doing it publicly so that people will bring glory to God, Jesus says. In Matthew 6, you're doing it privately so that you won't bring glory to yourself. The question is not so much what you do or how you do. The question is, why do you do it? To bring glory to self or to bring glory to God? Some people take things way too literally here in Matthew 6. I've heard people say, well, the only place to pray is in a prayer closet. And I've heard people say, you know, public and corporate prayer is almost sinful. I've known people who have refused to pray in public because of what Jesus says here. There have been people who practice when they give, say they're given in church and the plate is being passed. There are people who practice, they stick one hand in their pocket, their left hand in their pocket, and they put the money in the plate with their right hand. Get it? Because Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I've had people come up to me almost in a panic. You know, if somebody finds out what I did, do I lose my heavenly reward? Well, friends, if that's your attitude, you're safe, because that says you're doing it for your Father, for your Father's approval. And that is exactly what Jesus is teaching us here. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it in private or whether you're doing it in public. The question is, are you doing it for God's approval and not people's approval? That's the crucial issue. That's the only issue. And why do we apply this only to giving and praying and fasting? I mean, people see me preach and they comment every week. I don't know if they're just being nice or they're, you know, but people say, you know, great sermon, really ministered to me. Does that mean I lose my reward? Well, it means I lose my reward if I'm preaching so that people will see me and say, wow, look how spiritual he is. But if I'm preaching so that it will bring glory to God, that's all that really matters. Remember, again, Jesus was a wisdom teacher. He spoke with hyperbole to make his point. And so when he says, don't let anybody know what you're doing, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, how do you even do that anyway? He's just using hyperbole. Go into the closet, he says. He's just using hyperbole. He's exaggerating to make his point. Don't do things so that people see. Do things for God, for God's approval only. His point is, whatever reward you seek will be yours. Look what Jesus says in this passage. He says the person who goes out and prays on the street corner so that people will see, he says they have received their reward in full. He says people who pray on the street corner, whether you pray or you give or you fast, if you're doing it for people to see, you're getting your reward. Jesus says, whatever reward you seek will be yours. Are you praying so that God will hear? Great, you'll be rewarded by God. Are you praying so that people will hear? Fine, you'll be rewarded because people will hear, and they may think you're wonderful, but that's what you're seeking. That's what you will receive. Jesus is saying, who are you living for? Who do you want to please? The key here is to have passion for God and then do anything else you want, really. If our goal is to live for God and live for God's approval alone, everything else will take care of itself. If we live for God's glory, that's what Jesus is wanting us to do. I had a situation that really drove this home several years back. I was asked to take part in a global day of prayer where I was a pastor up in Indiana. And my part in the global day of prayer, which was a gathering of a bunch of different denominations, and several pastors from the city were going to lead in different segments of the prayer. And I was assigned the prayer of repentance. And I don't know why, but it seemed like as a Baptist, I always got the role of talking about repentance. I guess they think Baptists are good at that. But anyway, at this event, Global Day of Prayer, my assignment was repentance. You're going to pray the prayer. You're going to lead us in a prayer of repentance. Now, I have some issues. First of all, I'm a recovering pride addict. God is in the process of bringing me where I need to be, humility-wise. And so, I don't mind people's approval. I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't. I don't mind if people say wonderful things about me. And that's just not good. And so, if I have an opportunity to get in front of people, I have to be careful that I'm doing it for the right reason, that I'm not doing it to put on a show, but that I'm doing it for God's glory. Now, the problem is, and sometimes in situations like this, we pastors can get up and our assignment is to lead people in prayer. And instead, we start preaching and we start kind of grandstanding and those kinds of things. And I knew that when I went to this event, that those kind of things were going to happen. And I would probably be tempted to do some of the same things. If for nothing else, for people to say, wow, that was really a moving prayer or something like that. And, as I was getting ready to lead this segment of prayer, repentance is kind of ironic, isn't it? But anyway, I was getting ready, preparing for the day coming, and I felt like God said to me, you get up there, you pray, and you sit down. You don't preach, you don't draw attention to yourself, you get up, you pray, you sit down. And I said, okay, Lord. So I prepared a prayer. I got up, I led the people in the prayer, and I sat down. There were other guys who got up and did more than that, but I God said, this is what I want you to do. It's pretty unremarkable in my mind. I mean, I thought, not too many people came up to me and said anything. I just did what I was there to do, went home, went to sleep, got up the next morning, and I got a phone call. And somebody asked, picked up the phone, hey, how's it going? Somebody said, have you seen the paper today? Have you seen the newspaper? I'm like, no, what's going on? They said, you're on the front cover of the newspaper. And so, you know, I went out and got a newspaper. I, you know, picked, and there I am on the cover of the newspaper. It shows me, and I'm praying. I mean, it's front cover, full color picture, above the fold even. But it, the funny thing was, it was a picture of me praying, but it wasn't when I was leading the prayer. It was when I was on the platform waiting to lead the prayer. And the funny thing is that I'm bowed, and I have my hand in front of my face, and I'm praying. And actually, if you didn't recognize my haircut or you didn't read the tiny caption under the picture, you never would have known it was me to begin with. But I'm sitting there on the front cover of the paper. I'm praying. I'm reading scripture. And it was like God said, you see, if you just do what I tell you to do, I will remember. That picture actually not only meant a lot to me because it taught me, you know, an important lesson, but it meant something to the people in my church. A couple of days later, somebody walked in and they had blown up the picture and framed it. I mean, it was huge. They said, here, you can put this on your wall. A couple of days later, another guy came in and he had freehand drawn the picture from the newspaper. I mean, it really meant a lot to people because what it says is the word, prayer, keep your face covered. You know, I think that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. Do what you know you ought to do. Follow the word, pray, but keep your face covered. Jesus says, do what you know you ought to do. Give to the poor, pray, fast, but keep your face covered. Don't do things so people will see you, will recognize you, will acknowledge you, will praise you. Do things so that your Father, who sees in secret, will see you and will reward you. That's a great title for God, isn't it? Your Father who sees in secret. Your Father who sees in secret. I can remember as a kid, there was a song that we learned to sing. It went something like, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above, He is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. That song used to scare me to death. The thought of a God who sees every move that I make. And not just sees every move, but kind of waiting, like with the big ruler in the sky. God is, it sees what is going on in secret. And if I, you know, make a false move, God's going to squash me like a bug. I mean, the thought of my Father who sees in secret wasn't a happy thought. But look how Jesus uses this title of God in this passage. Your Father who sees in secret. We a lot of times use that to scare people. But what Jesus says is, no matter what, your Father sees the good works that you do. No matter who else sees, your Father sees, and your Father will reward you. Now, is he talking about a reward in heaven? Or is he talking about a reward now? I say yes. To me, it's like, you know, growing up, my mom would be making a cake or something, and she would ask, did I want to lick the bowl? Absolutely, I want to lick the bowl. I mean, there's reward now, but there's reward later. I could taste the cake now, but I could also get it later. I think that's what Jesus is saying. There's reward now, tremendous reward in following God, in knowing Him, but there's also reward to come. And I want you to know, friends, you know, some people have platform gifts in the body of Christ. There are a lot of people who have service gifts. There are a lot of people who do things behind the scenes. You know, you may be somebody who serves the Lord behind the scenes, and you don't get the recognition that others get. You don't get things pointed out like maybe others do. I want you to know that your Heavenly Father sees what you do in secret, and you will not lose your reward. God knows. God knows the hours, the care, the concern that you put into people's lives because you love Him and because you love them. And what Jesus says is, if you're doing that for your Father sees, and your Father will reward.